brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
It is definitely sipping time. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are here today talking about Speyside Scotch on this Sips episode. I'm good old boy Mike, and joining me here at the table are good old boy Dave.
Hey, everybody.
That's all he's going to go with as an opener.
I had some other stuff.
Epic fail right off the bat. And also good old gal Juliana.
Aye.
She's going to start off with a very good moment there. Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee. But today it is definitely going to be all about the scotch. We're going to be talking about the scotch from Speyside. Hey, lassie. So really great that we get to talk about an all-scotch show. We have some really great products to talk about in this show. So we have Balvenie Portwood, 21-year-old. Balvenie Caribbean Cask, 14-year-old. Abelor Abunda. It is a cask strength beer. Beer. Nice. Where am I? Holy crap. That's just not right, lass.
Somebody's cut off.
Already.
Yeah, definitely.
And the drinking game hasn't even begun.
It hasn't even begun. That's so sad. So Abelor Abunda, Abelor's 30-year-old, Macallan 30-year-old. We're having the one that was from a 1974 cask. Glenfiddich, 19-year-old, and we have one to trip us up here. So it's a Dalmore, it's the cigar malt, and this is actually a blend, and you're going to tell us what's in this too, right?
Yes, I am.
Yep.
I bet there's whiskey in it.
Yes, Dave, thank you for joining us. some really great stuff we'll get to go over, but first up, Juliana's going to get the honors of going over our sips ratings for today.
As usual, we will be tasting and discussing the scotch today and rating each of them with these sips ratings, plus our signature sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. Ugh.
Now, I felt like that a little bit. Bring water.
Number two, nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Number three. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Lots of interesting stuff today.
True. Number four. Let's keep this a secret to ourselves and pour me another.
Lots of secrets today.
Number five. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. She hasn't said that since the day we met. Yeah.
That was a good day. Like that. Thanks, Juliana. So let's definitely chat about scotch, and in particular, Speyside. Scotch from Scotland, proper take on taste characteristics defined by the regions. Now, I'm not going to be reading this in Scottish, you know, all day. So don't get that excited, Dave.
It's not going to be a repeat of the
British
English ale show.
No, that's true. So, you know, each particular region has characteristics to it. And, you know, this, I think what's interesting is, you know, kind of this, the Dalmore you brought today, because we'll talk a little bit about this. So Highland is basically the heart of Scotland.
Right.
And it can actually drift all the way up to the very, actually north of Speyside itself. Mm-hmm. Then there is Speyside, which is the very unique northern coastal region. That's what we're talking about today. There are the lowlands, which you guessed it, it's on the south side of Scotland. And then there's islands, mostly cover the northwest islands, and actually divided into Skye and Islay are usually the two regions that you talk about.
Woohoo!
So listen, if you want to know about Islay, Scotch, be sure to check out the other show that we did on Isle of Scotch. It's in season 2. We actually discuss a bunch of Scotch from that region. So the show's title was called Butchering the Gaelic Language with Mike, Part 1.
Can't imagine why.
it was definitely an interesting day, that's for sure.
You know, with your flair for accents and everything, I can't imagine you did anything but a stellar job.
Right. Thanks, Dave.
Exactly.
Well, I flunked Doric, which is actually the Scottish dialect of the Northeast region, growing up, so I am absolutely going to butcher the pronunciation of just about everything today. I have tried rehearsing, but the Scotch itself just kept on getting in the way. I've decided to combine our love of the Doric dialect with actually a drinking game today.
Nice. So,
it's going to make it very interesting.
So, it was coming.
So, a very simple rule. If you can say the Doric phrase right, then everybody else drinks. But if you get it wrong, you'll be pounding down a dram of Scotch. So, if you want to play along with us while you're listening to this episode, I would say just hover over the pause button. And as I throw it out, we'll see if you get it right and then play it. And you'll actually get to hear and play along with us. So, go grab your favorite Scotch. Sit down with us. We're
going to
have a drinking game. Yeah, you need a... Now, bring the whole bottle.
Yeah.
So we'll have some fun here over the next hour as we get to go over this. So,
I think I should, just to keep everything on the level, I am half Doric on my father's side, so... I probably got an edge.
Wait, was that half Doric or half Doric?
I'm fluent in Doric. So,
Dave, it's Doric, not Dork.
It's never mind that.
Drink a dram anyway, man. I'm sure it's going to help you. All right, so listen, here's your warm-up, okay? This one you don't have to drink on, but I'll tell you how this is going to go. So here's our very first one. How would you say you always get drunk in Doric? All right. First contestant up is going to be Dave.
You're always pissed, man.
Very good. I have to say, for creative points, that would be pretty good. All right, Juliana, how about it?
You're always bloated up.
Ooh, that's also a good one, but also dead wrong.
Uh-huh.
All right, so here's how you'd say it.
Always get drunk, don't you? You're always bleezing, eh? No.
You're always leezing. If I went a little faster, I'll play it again.
Always get drunk, don't you? You're always leezing, eh? No.
Leezing, eh?
Bleezing. Bleezing. Okay.
Well, this is a super special show today as well. So one of the things we get to celebrate is it is Juliana's birthday.
Yay.
So I have found the perfect way.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to sing in Doric, though.
Bummer.
I thought you were going to play Scottish Girl again.
No, that's at the end of the show when we don't mind it too much.
Yeah. It's when we're ready for people to stop listening.
I wonder if that guy was wearing anything under his kilt.
Probably not.
Not if he's a true Scot.
Happy birthday.
Well, definitely happy birthday, Juliana, and it's always a pleasure to have you here at the table and in the studio, and I can't think of a better way of celebrating your birthday than with a lot of great Scotch to talk about.
Exactly. I'm in heaven.
Yep. So you're going to tell us a little bit more about what we're doing today with this stupid drinking game.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if we have enough Scotch here, though, depending on how many of these drinking games there will be. Maybe if we drink a dram for everything that you butcher up, this will be a more entertaining thing. If not, well, who cares? And by my count, I think you need to drink 3 drams.
Oh, yeah.
Already.
I'm definitely probably at least 3. All right, so I'm going to aim for four more for this drinking game test, but all bets are off on how many other things I'm going to butcher, especially as we talk more about Spaceside here up front. So listen, I've asked Juliana to cover some background on Spaceside Scotch today. Plus, we'll see if we can slip in any Doric on her while she's going through this. Dave and I are going to hang out in the background, and we'll be drinking scotch as she is discussing and telling you all about this fabulous region of Scotland.
So as a style, Speyside whiskies are usually lighter and sweeter than the other scotch single malts. As they grow older, they'll develop body, just like everything else, right? The Speyside region has the vast majority of all the Scotch distilleries, and thus there is a lot of variation. Aside from the lighter, honeyed single malts, there are also a small group of distilleries which produce a heavily sherried style Speyside whiskey. So Glenfarclas, the Macallan, for example, they produce big body drams. The Glenlivet and Glenfiddich distilleries produce the most classic and typical Speyside drams, and both are world famous. So, when you think of Speyside, what comes to mind?
Well, you know, we were actually talking about this earlier, is that, you know, does the region define, you know, basically the characteristics? And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is the play of the smoke and the peat is really what I think most people are looking at. Now, the Isle of Scotch that we talked about earlier was on the other show. Very distinctive peat essence around the Isle. Mm-hmm. Now, when you get into especially the Highlands and the Speysides that we're talking about today, not as much of differentiating components through the peat, but the play on the wood and the smoke are the other things that mm-hmm. tend to be very characteristic between these particular regions. And it's almost the type of smoke is not necessarily in the amount of smoke in these as well. And so there's two words I'm going to say as we're rating these, you know, talking about these products today. I'm going to say the word smoke and peat about 1,000 times a day.
Sure.
And I'm going to order those up because there's a certain measure of balance. When I talk about this is off balance, it's because it's the play between the smoke and the peat. You know, there's really too much of one or the other that's kind of presenting itself coming through. When I think about Speyside, I think about them being smoke forward. But I don't know that that is a true representation of really everybody thinking about it that way. The one product we have in here, if I have to think of it as a reference standard, it's the Glenfiddich 19 that we have here in the lot. So I think that if you want to kind of tune up your palate and think about, well, what would a Speyside taste like, I would say go and grab a Glenfiddich. It doesn't have to be the 19 we're tasting today. You could probably grab a 12, and it would be just fine. It may not have as much smoke in it that maybe the one that we have today to talk about. But I think that that'll kind of tune you up, and you'll kind of understand when somebody says the word Speyside, you know, kind of what that's about. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of what I think about, you know, with Speyside. Some other things we need to tell our folks about Speyside here as well.
Sure. So there are 42 distillers of Scotch in Speyside alone.
And cowbells.
More cowbells. And we have a nice cross-section of those today to discuss, which, like, I'm really thrilled about the variety that we have.
Yeah.
Here are some other fun facts on Speyside.
Oh.
So, Glenfiddich, which we happen to be drinking one of those, is the world's best-selling single malt. Glenfiddich, Glenlivet, and the Macallan make up one-third of the entire single malt market.
That's amazing.
It is. And though, you know, part of it I'm wondering is, I mean, yeah, there's good advertising. When you look through Whiskey Magazine, you're always seeing an ad for one of those. But also, it tends to be like, if you're watching movies and there's a lawyer or there's some important power brokery type person, they always tend to be drinking one of those three.
Yep, that's true.
And so maybe subliminally,
I should take that to every settlement agreement.
Probably.
Pour me one. Well, this will go a lot better.
Really.
Here's some scotch. Just sign the paper.
I agreed under duress. No, you agreed under the influence of scotch. That's a difference. If there was tequila involved, I would agree. It's distress.
Okay, fun fact number two.
Yeah.
Diageo's, and I'm going to screw this up, so forgive me.
Rose Isle
Distillery, which opened in 2009, is Scotland's largest distillery with the capacity of, wait for it, 12.5 million liters per year.
That is a lot of scotch.
I mean,
that's a lot of white lightning, period.
Geez, you know, I didn't think there was enough room on the island for all that. That's like crazy.
So that would be an interesting, you know, moment. So if you're really, if you haven't had enough to do tonight, I would say your homework after the show is I want for one of you listeners to come and tell me if. Outside of MGP, I'm going to throw them out of the equation, okay? So if you had to pick any distillery on U.S. soil that is that large, I'd like to know if there's another distillery on U.S. soil outside of MGP in Indiana that is 12.5 million liters per year. I mean, that is a lot of white lightning.
That is.
That is crazy.
And I'm sure a lot of it's going to Japan.
Yes.
Okay, fun fact number three. Between them, the active Speyside distilleries account for more than 60% of Scotland's single malt whiskey production in total.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that one little area, and in the scheme of things, it's a lot smaller area than the Highlands are. And it's accounting for 60%. That blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it geographically, Speyside is probably less than maybe 8% of the total size of Scotland itself. So, I mean, that's amazing that they produce, you know, that proportion of capacity. But I think that that also kind of contributes to some of the characteristics of these as well, that they're very approachable.
They are.
And I think that part of the reason why I think they're able to produce so much capacity is because I think they're also going for a broader palate and not such a polarized product as well. So, but one last factoid here, right? Oh, yeah, you read the last one. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm brain dead. Maybe I should have another dram.
I was going to say, I think you need at least another dram or two.
Well, I thought you butchered something in there. I'm going to say, you didn't come close to getting Rose Isle. I had to jump in and save you.
Exactly.
On that one.
Exactly.
That's about as good. But no Doric in that whatsoever. So here's your first test of Doric language. All right, here we go. This one's a real live test. You're gonna have to drink on this one. So how would you say in Doric, how are you doing, baby? Dave is thinking, what are all of the strange names for baby? All right. How about it, Dave? How would you say, how are you doing, baby, in Doric?
Bah.
I don't think she would show up for that one. All right, Juliana, how would you say, how are you doing, baby, in Doric?
What you doing, eh?
Ooh, that's pretty good. You got part of it down. So here it is, folks. Okay. Here's how you would say, how are you doing, baby, in Doric?
How are you doing, baby? All right, doll.
Figures.
I think I was closer.
All right, doll. One more time, just in case you need to hear it again.
How are you doing, baby? All right, doll.
Well, really good and epic fail for both of you.
Is
on
this,
that.
Speyside or Alabama?
I'm talking Alabama. He's talking Doric. So that's the big difference between the two. All right. So we'll listen, we're going to take a quick break here and we're going to pour ourselves a dram and make sure we're prepared for the rest of the show. Why don't you take a quick break yourself and come right back? Hey, we're actually going to go through and discuss our top picks from the lineup today, and we're actually going to make our way through the rest of the scotch in the discussion here today. So for round one, we're going to pick our top pick, and we'll rate it with our sips rating and talk about our tastings on each of these. Juliana, I'm going to give you the honors for the birthday girl.
And, okay, when we say top, this is top, huh?
Yeah, that's right. There's only one at the top, not
three. All right,
three.
Just check in. Just check it. Because these are all my children, and I love them so much.
It's lonely at the top.
You know.
All right, fine. Fine, be that way. I am going with the wonderful Glenfiddich 19.
Ooh, very interesting, huh?
Easy pick. How about that? What do you mean, easy pick?
Been watching the commercials.
Not for this one. No.
So what are your tasting notes around this?
So it is creamy. It is smooth as all get out. And I had an interesting conversation about this when I bought this a few weeks ago. And you know, it had a really nice bottle. You know, it's a 19-year-old. I was really kind of surprised at how reasonable the price was for what I was getting. And of course, it was the last one on the shelf, so the owner was happy to get rid of it in the scheme of things. But in talking about it, I guess this is something relatively new that Glenfiddich has been doing, is sort of branching into the bourbon barrels. They've been into wine barrels for many years, and I think the next one in this Age of Discovery series is going to be another wine barrel. But they wanted to do something a little different, and the bourbon on this, now granted, I've done some research and I can't find out what specific distillery in Kentucky this comes from. I'm hoping that it's Buffalo Trace, because I'm getting the feeling that it might be Buffalo Trace. But it is such a great marriage of what is a traditional and a very traditional Speyside whiskey, meaning that it's got this nice blend of caramel notes and smokiness, but then you just get that little hint of the vanilla and that and the char from the bourbon barrel, and I just think it's a very beautiful sipping whiskey.
Cool. What's your sips rating on this?
Oh God, this is a 5.
Oh, no, my
about that. Yeah. Off the bat. Well, definitely, oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good, that's for sure. Really great choice there. Dave, what was your top pick?
Well, let me start by saying that despite my dork ancestry, I don't drink a lot of scotch.
Yeah, Juliana and I had to come over and say, Dave, do not put any Sprite or Coke with that.
Yeah. So. Step away from the carbonated beverage.
No, he wasn't scotch that bad, and Coke. Folks.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of scotches that Juliana brings home that I try to drink and not make a dirty face, but... You know, I'm getting better. I'm learning a little bit. But as far as what you were saying earlier, Mike, about Speyside being very approachable, I do agree with that. There was nothing in the tasting today that I found unappealing. But anyway, speaking through my lack of experience with scotches, the one I liked the best was the Balvenie 14-year-old Caribbean.
Interesting choice. Mm. Huh. So, what was it about that you liked so much?
I could actually taste the Caribbean in it. You know, I don't know if it was the power of suggestion with the name, but I actually could taste hints of rum and the sweetness of the sugar as it finished, and then it just had a really nice kind of toffee aroma, and then it kind of finished with, I don't know if it was coconut, but it kind of had the hint of something sort of tropical that I really liked.
So what's your suds rating, or your sips rating, going to be on that?
I would give it a 4.
A 4. How about that? Let's keep the secret to ourselves. Pour me another. Interesting choices, and a very broad difference between those two, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My top pick is going to be the Macallan 30-year-old.
Nice.
Yeah. So this is, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, of course, you know, it's a 30-year-old. Nah, I wouldn't take that, you know, on quite that way. I would say that I'm guilty of just, I've really enjoyed Macallan in a lot of different ages that, you know, they offer their scotch in. We just happen to have this one tonight that, you know, I've really, I've enjoyed for a long time, and I would be remiss if I didn't put this in my top three. You know, it's, the thing I wrote down is it's a smoky dead peat. And, you know, where a lot of these other, a lot of other things we had, they're very lively on the tongue, and they just, you know, the flavor profile is either a little bit hot or whatever is you're having is just really, really kind of up in your nose. And, you know, it's really, this is just dead. And it's a very, very nice dead. It's like walking along and, it's like putting on your favorite pair of jeans. That's the way I would describe this. It's it's really comfortable. It's just it's right there on your tongue, and it's like, hello, old friend. You know, so glad to be back here, enjoying this moment with you. You know, it's just, if I had to come up with a poster child for perfect scotch, this would be one of my nominees. I mean, it is just really that good. I've enjoyed this for a long time. I'll continue to always pick this.
Oh my
sips rating is a 5 for the Macallan 30. By the way, the cask on this, just to remind you once again, was from 1974. So you'll see if you're trying to pick up this this product in the store, they'll have different cask year designations. And you can still find this. This one's probably a little bit more difficult to find. There's probably there's a couple other casks. I think there's a 78, I want to say, for some reason, that is offered as a 30-year as well, that is probably a bit more popular right now. So, all right, so we have our top picks out of the way, and away we go. So, Juliana, what's your number two pick?
So my number two is your number one.
Oh, wow. How about that? fabulous.
And the only reason why I did not put that as a number one is because I feel that, okay, and this is the Islay lover in me, which really, you know, approached this and was like, oh, I'm in heaven. Mm-hmm. But wait a second, I should be in Speyside. This isn't, to me, it just wasn't quite Speyside because I was getting so much peatiness as well as smokiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, for as much, my number one to me had to be something that I felt was completely indicative of Speyside as a whole. And this one is a little bit more niche-y, if you will. But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just stunning. It's so smooth and it's complex, but it's so extraordinarily balanced. Between the smokiness and the carameliness, and that's one thing that I always look forward to in a Speyside. And it's taken me a while to get to the point of loving that carameliness because I'm so like peaty, iodine smoke in my, you know, just I want to taste it, live it, breathe it. So kind of becoming a little bit more delicate with the caramel and the sweeter flavors. This Macallan is a great blend of all of that. Mm. And this is a beautiful four for me.
Cool. So let's keep the secret to ourselves. Pour me another. Do you like the reference I use? That it's the perfect pair of jeans you always go back to.
You know, but it is. It is. And the thing, too, that's really approachable about this is that Islay lovers would enjoy this one as well. Because you're getting that peatiness that is so comfortable to those of us freaks that really love the Islay.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it is a very comfortable pair of jeans.
Yeah, I would definitely say for the Ardbegs, you know, that we had on the Islay show, this is about the global opposite, you know, in terms of the peatiness profile that you're going to have definitely in this Macallan, and almost in everything, you know, we're going to have that Islay, you know, peat is very, very distinctive. You know, the salty quality of that, just, I don't know, it really, there's something that really it gets to you really quick. And you go, wow, I love... people are very polarized about...
Oh, you know, sure. You either love it or hate it. Yeah. You know, and I think it's that combination of seaweed, salt, iodine, and peat that blend together that...
There's Dave making so that face. Good.
You know, if I could put that into a sandwich right now, I think I'd be in heaven.
Got some iodine.
A big old seaweed iodine sandwich. Between a couple of pieces of peat.
Okay, but those of us that love Isla, you know exactly what I mean, and you know where I'm coming from. So there.
Dave, what was your number two pick?
My number two, I'm going to stick with Belvini.
Oh,
I'm going with the 21-year-old Portwood.
Wow.
Wow.
That's interesting. After your comments, you know, when we were tasting, you were like, what is that? That is like, and the way you said it, I was like, he does not like Portwood. So, wow, it's interesting.
It warmed up on me.
Okay, all right.
We warmed up on each other. Mm. No, yeah, in the beginning, it had like just this really kind of sharp flavor that I couldn't really kind of wrap my arms around because I had been tasting a lot of the other ones, and they were, you know, some of the older ones and things, and I think they were smoother and a little more well-rounded. But this one, for some reason, I just like the overall kind of tone of it. It's got a little bit of sharpness to it, but it's very approachable and very drinkable.
Hmm. So what's your sips rating on that?
I'd give this one a 4 as well.
A 4? Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another. Well, my number two choice is not too far from my number one. So I'd have to say that, you know, probably if I were to drop dead, I would say bury me with a few things that I hold near and dear. You know, probably something for my wife, a bottle of Macallan 30, a 1990 Bordeaux, and I would say if I have any more room, put a bottle of Abelor 30-year-old in there with me. So, you know, this particular bottle I've had for a while. I think the cask was a 1970. Cask off this particular one. I have not seen this since, and I would say I've been nursing this bottle for quite some time. And I think the one thing I always find myself with the Abelor 30 is I'm always like, wow, this is my fourth glass, and if I don't stop this, I'm just gonna finish the whole thing. Right. You know, it is just it really is quite enjoyable. So it's a little bit hotter, I would say, than the Macallan. It's less smoky and less peaty than the Macallan was. It's just different. I don't know how to. I don't have a really great descriptor other than it's maybe just muted. I should say a hotter and different than the Macallan itself, but still quite enjoyable. This is a good 1-2 punch for me, and I would still give this a 5. It's a really great scotch.
Oh my
so
goodness.
The Abelor 30.
Yeah.
Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good. Just tuck it right there next to my left ankle in the casket. That'll fit. So some really great choices here for our first two picks. All right, boys and girls, it's time to say, can I say that in Doric now?
Probably not.
All right. So it's time for a lack of brain cells to test your Doric on this
I'm
one.
I'm going
to
win.
That's for sure. You're a winner always, Dave. All right. How would you say the following in Doric? Come with me to the lake now. And Dave is trying to think, what is the Scottish word for water? And how do you say come?
Wow.
Not even close. All right. I will go in reverse order this time. Miss Juliana, how would you say, come with me to the lake now in Doric?
Fetch you to the lake, eh?
Ooh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Fine.
but also dead wrong. Drink. So, Dave, how would you say, come with me to the lake now in Doric?
Come on to the lock, lass.
Ooh, that's also dead wrong. So, this is how you would say, come with me to the lake now in Doric.
Come with me to the lake now. Come here, so loch nu.
Dude, oh, yeah, because
exactly
I would have.
What I said. Let's roll back the tape.
Wow.
Come with me to the lake now. Come here, so loch nu.
That's exactly how I would say it if I finished every one of these drams.
Yeah. Look. Look. Ook. Yes. There's something stuck in his throat.
You're going to have a lot of spittle. If you're in Speyside.
I don't think spittle is part of the Doric language, but thank you for playing, Dave. I appreciate it. All right. So we've come around our top two picks, and we'll keep moving along here with our third pick. Juliana, are you ready for your third pick here?
I am, and this one is tough. This one was really tough because...
Everybody's
special. Is it a four-way tie?
No, it's two, but it's the odd... Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going with the Aberlour Abunad.
Abunda.
Abunda. Yeah. I'm going with that. However... Hmm. And I say however. There's another one that I really liked, but it doesn't quite belong.
Jeez.
Yeah, okay, so...
She's gonna make this complicated, isn't she, Dave?
I know, I'm That's so sorry.
Welcome to my life.
How do you guys ever pick a TV show to watch?
Whoever has the remote.
Exactly right.
See, we have like 18 different TVs in my house. That way, everybody... And we can like record 18 different shows at once, so we don't have that problem, so...
Yeah. Welcome to our world. No, okay. So the reason the Aberlour is beautiful. It is. It's not it's a little sweet. It's a little sweeter than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But very interesting with this smoky sweetness balance. I dig it. However, and the reason why I bring this up is, you know, you talk about things that are within Speyside and then things that are Highland and things that are not quite, you know, fitting in the box. And what I'm about to bring up is the Dalmore cigar malt. And the reason, you know, okay, yes, calm down, people. I know that Dalmore is Highland. I do. I get it. I understand it. Highland happens to be one of my least favorites of all the distilleries. No, and it's because it's...
We can't go to Scotland now.
Well, yes, just we not to Ireland.
Well,
which is most of it.
No, and it's no disrespect, but I'm coming from the love of the iodine, the seaweed, the salt, and
so
the peat.
So listen here, Highland distillers, put some iodine and salt in your scotch. And you've got a customer.
Well, okay, so you say that, right? Okay, Highland Park. I've become in love with them slowly because they're taking their Highland, their traditional Highland style, and making it peatier. They're adding, they're making some really interesting additions, which kind of brings it outside the box of what a traditional Highland is and could be like the marriage between Highland and Islay. Well, the same holds through to the Dalmore cigar malt. It's beautiful, but it's got this smokiness, which to me would put it into a Speyside style, more so than a Highland style.
Yeah, truly. So this is interesting that you brought something that was not in the same declared region, you know, that we had, and it was very interesting to have this at the table. Because not only is it not from Speyside, but this is also not a single malt. This is a blended whiskey as well.
Yeah.
And which I found even, you know, kind of also like, which one of these things doesn't belong? And there's just no way. you know, it's going to really hang tough with, you know, these other 30-year-old single malts that are kind of sitting on the same table as well.
Sure. So those of us that are listening right now are saying, what in the bloody heck is she talking about? Yeah. Okay, well, let me explain myself and maybe this will help. So the Dalmore Cigar Malt Reserve benefits from a judicious selection of aged stocks drawn from the cast of three different types. So you have an American White Oak ex-bourbon. Okay, fine. A lot of them come from that. And then you have a 30-year-old Madisela Moloroso Sherry Butt. And then you also have a Cabernet Sauvignon. So that combination of barrels, to me, makes it more of a Speyside complexity than a Highland complexity. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you add in the, and from the bourbon barrel, you're, for whatever reason, I'm getting like a really nice smokiness that...
What's the Doric word for kitchen sink? Hey, Lassie, there's something in the bucket over there. Oh my goodness!
But whatever this is, Dalmore, thank you for making it.
Yeah,
you know, because it's,
it was good.
It just makes me think more outside the box. Mm. You know. Anyways, but I give both of them a 4.
Wow, how about that?
That's classified.
Well, there you have one of our top picks in on our round 3 here. Listen, we're going to take another quick break. Then we're going to come back. We're going to have another test of Doric. And not Dork, Dave. Doric.
Then I won't do well.
Come right back. We'll talk about more scotch from Speyside. Hey, thanks for coming back. You're on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. This is good old boy Mike. We are here talking about Speyside Scotch today on this Sips episode. We've gone through a couple rounds talking about several products that we have from Speyside and one trump card that Joanna just talked about, which was from Dalmore Highland Cigar Malt. So we're going to keep going through our round 3 pick here. Dave, you're up next. What's your pick for round 3 here?
Round 3? Well, I actually had I think it's the same one that she picked, but she talked about like 7 different things, so I'm not sure. But the Arbalor Abunda.
Oh, the Abunda.
The Abunda. Yeah, no, I really liked it. I got some fruitiness out of it, and what did I write? It's a little bit hot, but that's cool. So am I. So, you know, we get along. But it had kind of a fruity finish, which I don't, so that's cool too. And toffee in the nose. So that's what I wrote.
So what's your Sips rating on this?
I'm gonna go 3.
A 3? How about
interesting.
That? Interesting. What was that again? It is interesting. It's a very interesting lineup that you have there, Dave.
I'm an interesting guy.
Well, those are that's a taste profile from hither and yonder across those 3. So
I'm a man of wide and diverse interests.
Well, my number 3 pick was actually a little more difficult, and I also picked the Abalora Bunda.
Ooh.
That's my top 3 pick. I guess part of it is just that natural taste profile of Abalor, but I think the way that the Abunda here is, I think it's an 18-year-old, it's also cask strength. So
explains the hotness a bit.
Yeah. So the one thing that you definitely want to do with this is need to add a little bit of water or a nice cube to bring it down to, you know, the right strength. Because cask strength is probably running at 120 proof, and most scotch you drink is around 90. So,
I must be like cask strength.
In many ways.
Got the hotness.
Take away the remote from him. Anyway, so The thing that I wrote down about the Abunda, and this is the first time that I've actually sat down and I've had the Abunda alongside the Abalor 30 at the same time. Yeah. The other Abalor that I have enjoyed in the past is the 18, which is a very popular version of the Abalor. And but the Abunda is what I would describe as exponentially kicked up. It's like everything mm-hmm. is there. So even though I would describe it's like smoke and peaty, it's like smoke and peaty like times three.
Yeah.
It is just really, really very apparent there.
It's like Abalor 3D.
that's not that, a bad that description.
Really
yeah.
is it? Yeah.
Because it is truly something that has a dimensionality to it that maybe where, you know, I started out in saying the Macallan was just dead flat. This is exactly the opposite. This has a yeah. tremendous amount of dimension to it, and you really, the amount of peat and smoke is really, really there. The sherry is wonderful off this. The sherry cask that they finished this off in, I couldn't think of a finer thing, you know, to finish an Abalor scotch oh, yeah. in than the sherry cask that they use off this. You know, this is a highly acclaimed scotch as well. And I remember when they first came out with this, I remember life before Abunda as well. And I was really, this is one of the very first cask strength scotches that I actually had ever. Hmm. I've probably had, you know, a couple hundred since then, but this one has really just kind of stayed with me, and part of it is just that natural Abalor, you know, taste profile. But I really enjoy having the ability of having something at cask strength and still having the essence, and it's almost like I can control the experience to some degree because of that. Really great. So glad we had this tonight. My sips rating is 4 for this. So let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another is the rating off of that. Well, we've gone through our first three rounds, and now it's time for Doric once again. That sounds like a new game show, doesn't it?
Time for Doric.
Fire up the Family Feud show. Come on down. We're going to play some Doric here. All right. The Alabama version.
There you go.
So, next up on how you're going to test your Doric is, how do you say the following? Do you know what I mean? How would you say that in Doric? He's thinking, boys and girls. This is not a good thing.
There's smoke. And it's not from the whiskey.
Do you know what I mean? All right. Joanna, how would you say, do you know what I mean in Doric? She's gotten pretty close. She's got that fit thing down on. She just says fit all the time.
I keep saying it enough times.
But you're gonna get right. there.
Yeah, I keep throwing it. At, yep, you know, at some right. point, it's yep. going to work.
You know what I mean.
Fit you, eh?
Ooh, that's not bad. Jesus. Oh, but dead wrong. Fit you, eh?
Can you feel what's under my kilt?
Oh! we might give you that one just for the
wow.
you know, the creativity alone.
That's an interesting visual.
No, I'm sorry, boys and girls. You're not even close. Here is how you say, do you know what I mean in Doric?
Do you know what I mean? I can't fit like...
Oh, my God.
Very close. Very close.
Do you know get the, what I mean? I can't fit like...
Yep, you just didn't get the like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Ah, well, drink.
Yeah.
Pound it.
And a good drink it'll be.
I'm telling you, if you're not enjoying this game or this episode by now, you just need to drink more scotch. All right. So we've had a real good time talking about our top three picks. You know, there were a lot of great scotch here tonight. And, you know, there were a couple that I don't believe that we talked about at all. Did we talk about everything?
Yeah.
At least once?
Because
I went outside the box.
I think you did, Dave. I think you covered some of the other things that we did not talk about. So I thought I'd just kind of run through a couple of these real quick and gather some of your tasting notes on these. I guess I want to start off with the Dalmore. Juliana picked this as her number three pick. Dave, what did you think? One, having a blended whiskey right there at the table, that was pretty bold.
It was bold.
Yeah.
If I was an actual Scotch enthusiast, I would probably have slapped her. a few more shots and I might. No.
I grabbed the remote first. What'd you do? Exactly.
No, actually, you know, again, being a novice to Scotch and everything, I found it very enjoyable to drink. Bit on the sweet side to me. But a little bit of smokiness there. I thought it was nice. You know, I'd give it a 3.
Almost the exact same thing that I wrote down as well. Smoky and sweet, with a wood finish. There was a lot of wood in that. And I thought that was almost masking the reason why I didn't write down peat on this is... I thought that was the one key element that was actually missing out of that. But the sweetness in this was probably just a little bit over too much to the top. And I would say indicative of a blended whiskey as well.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. I mean, so. There's no doubt that it was. But, I mean, for me, there is a little bit of peat in it. And I guess, you know, my taste buds are so attuned to peat because I love it so much that the moment I get, you know, the slightest bit of it, I get all excited. So
her peaty senses.
Yes, my peaty sense.
I thought both of the Balvenies were polar opposites of each other.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The rum wood was one of the things that I didn't particularly enjoy. I actually thought it was sweet and bitter. It was a very sharp bitter, too. I'd almost, the thing I wrote down is you need to add some water to this because I actually dropped like half an ice cube with mine tasting and... It was better, but it's still, I don't know, it just did not ring well for me. Actually, that was one of the lowest ratings that I wrote down. It's a 3 for me, but, you know, not one of the ones that I particularly enjoyed.
Do you think it was because it's one of the younger ones?
No, that wasn't it. I was really just paying attention to how it tasted, and it was just, I don't ever think of... Usually a Speyside is being bitter. In fact, I just thinking of that as any taste profile with Scotch in general, you know, it's just not usually something I find myself writing down. So that was kind of weird.
Okay, and for me, if I may say, I wanted to like it because as soon as I, you know, saw that it was a rum wood, I was like, oh, this is going to be like Angel's Envy. This is going to be so wonderful.
I had the same reaction, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is not at all like Angel's Envy. It's a little sharp. What the heck is going on here? So for me, it was a little bit of a disappointment too. And maybe it's because the bar is so set with that Angel's Envy. Okay, you bourbon lovers out there, I'm sure you're totally agreeing with me on that.
Yeah, I am.
You know, that it's this, you would think that it would be a nice marriage, but I don't quite think Speyside is the place to go for this. I'm thinking maybe Highland might be, you know, like a true traditional Highland might be a better place to do a rum cask, but that's just me.
Might be good.
Well, I just finished my sample and oh my God, that's bitter.
Okay.
Well, I wrote something down very different about the Balvenie 21 and the Portwood. It was like a sweet wood, you know, and it was very pleasant. It was almost like somebody took a piece of wood and just kind of swirled it around my tongue over and over and over, and it was really quite tasty. It was very difficult for me to actually hold that out. The Abunda and the Balvenie 21 Portwood were kind of right there together. I think it was just the sherry finish off the Abunda is the thing that kind of pushed me to say I like that one a little bit better. This one was also very pleasant. It was still a 4 for me. And a great choice. What about you, Juliana? I know Dave, it was in Dave's top 3, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and I enjoyed it too, don't get me wrong, but I just... No, I just...
And we're going to break.
Whatever. I'm just saying that I just wasn't enthused, I guess, about having... I tasted a lot of port, and I just wished it was a little bit more subtle. But that's just me. I mean, that being said, if you love port and you love whiskey, then this is a beautiful dram for you, and you will, you know, thoroughly enjoy it. It was a little too overwhelming in the port sense for me, and it was masking the other flavors. And it took me an ice cube and some water actually to get what I needed to get out of it, and I thought it was a little too much effort on my part. So sorry.
So was there any other particular product that you wanted to talk about that you didn't cover in your top three as well?
No, because I think I covered everything. Yeah,
I believe her top or number three covered about seven.
Well, one last comment about the Glenfiddich 19, which is not something I have to offer up. Really great. Thank you for bringing this tonight, and it was really great that we had this alongside everything else. And again, you know, I really thought that it was very representative of what I consider a reference standard. This particular Glenfiddich was a little bit different than maybe, you know, I would say the traditional 12-year, you know, Glenfiddich is. Finish off this. I actually wrote down it had a really pleasant pepper finish, and I actually like that, you know, quite a bit off this particular one. And it was very tough, you know, when I was thinking, the number one and two picks for me were very easy, but there was that third slot, you know, it was like the Balvenie, you know, the Abundo, the Glenfiddich, you know, they're all kind of right there together.
Sure.
These were all, most all of these were very good. About the only one I was throwing at the bottom was, you know, really the Balvenie and the Rumwood. Mm-hmm. It's about the only thing I would probably say, if somebody poured that, I'd go, can I just have more of a glass of water?
Yeah.
All the rest of these were quite outstanding and a really great representation of all things Bayside for sure.
Oh, sure. And, you know, what I love about what we were tasting tonight is that there are some distilleries that are thinking outside the box. And, you know, that brings me to the point of I'm really happy that I brought the Dalmore tonight, because it really, you know, you may say that you're pigeonholed into a certain region that you like better than more, you know, most others, and that's me. I mean, I'm a sad sack when it comes to Islay. That's what I go to. If I see it on the shelf at a bar, that's what I'm going to go to first, and then maybe I'll work up the nerve to try something different later. But this helps me to think that, you know, I can go into a Speyside and I can find something approachable to me, and I can go to a Highland and find something approachable. So, you know, for those of you out there that have only been one region only, it's okay. You can go to other regions.
Yeah. I would say embrace the variety and not get pigeonholed into one style of scotch for sure.
And kudos to the distilleries that are, you know, trying to expand and reach other people.
All right, last test of Doric here, and if you get all of these right, maybe you can actually run naked in the next Braveheart sequel.
I'm dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our whiskey!
Well... Dave, I have to say that the visual I have on you running naked in the next visual is just quite unsettling.
It's if you actually go to YouTube,
banned in 40 countries, coming to you live.
But he's carrying a bottle of Islay whiskey.
Well, we've really had a great time today talking about all these scotch, and want to wrap things up for today. Thanks to all of our listeners here on Sips, Suds, and Smokes. You can catch all of our episodes online on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, PRX, YouTube, Uncle John's Basement, and Spreaker, our native media host. Our terrestrial radio stations are questioning each day going, my 30-year-old scotch bottle is not showing up from these guys. but they're still choosing to put us on the air anyway. And they're questioning the Bonehead decision to actually buy this show.
God love them.
I know. Listen, if you'd like to hear this show on your favorite radio station, send them a note. A bottle of scotch and copy us as well. You know what? Just skip the whole note thing. Just send the scotch.
There you go.
You can reach us online anytime at info@sipssudsandsmokes.com. Dave has his own fan mail. You can reach Dave at leavethecorkin@sipssudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every single day. Our handle is @sipssudsmokes. And it's always our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. Listen, we really enjoyed having you here for this hour. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. I definitely want to thank my co-host for being here. Juliana, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you. And remember, lads, keep the kilt on until after the third dram.
Ah, excellent choice. Dave, thank you for being here.
Hey, it's like I tell Juliana, the more you drink, the funnier I get.
Also excellent. This is good old Mike asking you to join us once again and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.